Just want to pray right now for each and every one of us listening, that your spirit would be heavy upon us, that your word would be powerful to us and in us, and that our hearts, Lord, would be wide open to receive that divine seed, the word of God. Renew our minds too, Lord. Pray that we would not be dull in hearing, used to hearing, so that we don't listen anymore, but that we would hear the shepherd's voice speak to us today, leading and guiding us into all the good things that you have for each one of us. Lord, we worship you. You're amazing. You're here right now. You haven't left because we've stopped praise and worship. Your presence is here amongst us, and you live in us, Holy Spirit. And we just honor you. Honor your presence. Give your reverence, Lord, and give your word first place in our hearts and minds today. Be glorified and let your word run swiftly, we pray. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you have a Bible, I think that verse will come up, but 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. We'll just allow the Lord to speak to us this morning, and then we're going to move into a time of manifestation of victory, miracles, signs and wonders. I wouldn't be at all surprised. In fact, I'd be surprised if there weren't. Because signs and wonders follow the preaching of his. Tell your neighbor, I'll be surprised if there aren't lots of miracles today. Why don't we start every meeting like that? I'll be surprised if there aren't lots of miracles today. There's a message that we all need to hear, myself included, time and time and time and time and time again. There are quite a few messages like that, like the message of needing to forgive and be forgiven. It just needs a constant repeat in the life of every single one of us. But one of the messages that need to repeat regularly is how to win the war in your head. How to win the war in your head, your mind. Because Satan is real, and he loves to infiltrate each and every single one of our minds with thoughts that oppose truth, that oppose God. Jesus actually said that Satan is called, in John's Gospel, Satan is called the father of lies. Now, if somebody's a father, they are the origin. Okay, they're the source. They're the one from whom lies come. So all lies come from Satan. Jesus is the truth. He's actually a person. Truth is a person. And all truth comes from him. And so we have these two opposing, I believe, powers, because there's lies are powerful, but truth, Jesus' truth, carries divine power to set people free, to set captives free. And Satan can inspire and throw in thoughts of hatred, of anxiety. You can be asleep and wake up panicked and you don't know what you're panicked about. He can drop thoughts in your mind that are absolutely negative and destructive, like about your future, that it's going to close down, end, hopeless. He can, because he knows what you have been in, even though you've been forgiven those things in Christ, he can try and remind you of the things you've done, thoughts of shame, thoughts of your history, and bring the lies into your head. You are never going to be anything because of your history. But Jesus has come to set us free from our history, from our sin, from our failure, and from Satan's power, to liberate us to live in the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil also speaks words about being insecure. It makes you feel insecure. Suddenly you don't feel like you belong. Oh, I don't think I belong here. It's just you have to know that the enemy's voice is always to rob, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. Now, the Bible teaches us that Satan is capable of putting thoughts in our minds. And we're going to look at 1 Chronicles about a man called David, who was the king of Israel. And he was greatly used by God. He is an amazing man of God to read of in the Old Testament. And God brings many references to David in the New Testament. He had a heart after God. He led victorious battles for the nation of Israel. He restored worship to the entire nation. He brought back the worship of God to a nation. And we're going to read two verses in 1 Chronicles 21 where Satan spoke to David, and David acted on what Satan said. He acted on that thought that came into his head. In this moment, he didn't win the war in his head. So let's just read 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 and 2. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan, then report back to me that I may know how many there are. Actually, Joab said, basically don't do it. Joab said, it's not a good plan, king. But because the king's word, the king was the leader, the commander had to go and obey this order. Now, when scripture says Satan, it actually means Satan, who you can't see, but is a real person and has demons, and there is a hierarchy of principalities, powers, and demons. The same demons that were around in Jesus' day haven't been eliminated yet. They're still around. They just go and find someone new to live in once they've left us. Yeah? And Satan communicated to David. It wasn't a megaphone. I don't believe Satan is that obvious. He doesn't suddenly show up with his horns and red coat and say, it's me, Satan, because any man or woman of God in this room would go, I'm not listening to you. I'm following Jesus, not you. And so the way that Satan spoke is the way that I believe he tries to speak to each and every one of us. And that is that he speaks, sows a thought into our heads that we think is our thought. And we think is a good idea. It appeals to something in us. And David had this thought that he thought was his thought. I'll never say that again. Three thoughts in a row. This thought that he thought was his thought. I did say it again. And that thought he took on board and made a decision to act according to that thought that came from Satan, not God. Now, it was to count the armies. How many people do we have now? And this is towards the end of his reign. And he had a lot of troops. God had done amazing things out of nothing. This single person God had raised up and had done incredible things. And when he thought to count, it appealed to something in David, and that was actually David's pride. He wanted to know how big and strong and amazing he was as the leader of this awesome army. I suppose you get it amongst pastors. How many in your church? You know, a little bit of a carnal competition. It's called. How big's your business? How many cars do you have? What car do you drive? And it was like a thought to actually boast in what David had achieved, where actually it was God who achieved everything that David was in. But he wanted to take a little bit of self-appreciation to himself. So Satan incited, or he moved David to act in pride. Pride is a sin. But Satan spoke, gave the thought that gave birth to that action that David was responsible for. But we need to know, how on earth do you and I recognize that thought, that voice, that lie, that plan that opposes God's plan in our lives? Because we need to recognize that voice so that we don't act in Satan's ideas and plans for us. Don't we? This thought led to 70,000 men dying. So it's obviously from Satan, because it led to death. And every plan of Satan, every thought from Satan to get you out of the plan of God will lead to death. But Jesus always leads us to life. We know too that in the New Testament, in Matthew 16, we're just going to look there quickly, how Satan communicated through this awesome disciple called Peter in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 16. Now, I'm not into talking much about the enemy, but just enough so we can get the victory.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, right, we're just going to talk just enough about what the enemy does so we can win.
Come on.
Yes. Is that all right? Yes. So this whole message is going to be about coming into victory. But we need to understand how serious the battle, the war is for your head, your mind. There is a battle daily for your head. Whether you will live out of the truth or out of a lie. Whether you will live out of Satan's plans or the plan of Jesus for your life. And in Matthew 16, verse 22... after Jesus had said he must go and suffer many things and be killed and on the third day rise again to life. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, he's speaking to Peter. So physically, you would have seen Jesus talk to Peter when he said this. So he didn't look into the distant clouds. He turned and spoke to Peter. Yes. I find this bone shaking.
Yes.
I want to tremble when I think about this. That Jesus loved Peter, called him to be a disciple. He was an incredible follower, left everything to follow, walked on water. I mean, he was there for the multiplication miracles, and he was going to be one of the key leaders of the early church, through whom God would use to build the early church. Great man. By the way, even though he got it wrong, Jesus didn't throw him out of the plan. But he did get it wrong, and we can learn from Scripture. It's very important we learn from Scripture about the spiritual reality of what's going on in the spirit realm here. And so Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter." What does the Bible say? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." He didn't actually say, "You've got demonic thoughts of murder, terrorism." Because they're easy to pick out. Hello? The really bad stuff, we go, "Well, that's not God." Wouldn't we? We just go, "Murder? Nope. Stealing? Nah." But Jesus says, "You have in mind," here we go, "the concern," not the concerns of God, but human concerns. You don't have in mind the things of God. You don't have the interests of God in your head. Your head is filled with interests that oppose God, that look okay. It's okay to think like this. Jesus, I don't want you to go to the cross. That wouldn't be good for you or us, because we're getting famous right now. We're doing quite well. Batten down the hatches and let's just have popularity, not a cross. We don't want suffering with the Christian life." And Jesus spoke because he knew that Satan was appealing to... See, Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, was tempted not to die to self for the will of God. Wasn't he? Being tempted in every way, but didn't sin. And he knew that this temptation would lead him away from the will of God. So he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He knew Satan was behind those words to stop the salvation of humanity happening. Just by saying, "I want a feel-good life. I don't want to suffer." And I think it's incredible, really, that the Bible makes it so clear. If we're to have victory, it's connected with our minds. Not just our faith, but our heads. That if our heads are full of rubbish, thoughts that oppose God, our own plans, human great, feel-good, nice thinking, it can actually go absolutely opposite to what God's plan is for us. And I think this is even more powerful, and I thought this yesterday. Peter was actually with Jesus, in the company of Jesus, when he heard Satan speak. Yes. Right. So we always have to be watchful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a great prayer time, a great worship time, but you can hear.
Yeah.
We get to choose which voice we hear once we discern who's speaking. But Jesus will never lead you to count on yourself,
yeah,
to count on what you have,
yeah,
to count on your own human resources.
Yeah.
He will never lead you to boast about how well you've done.
Yeah.
He'll only lead you to boast about how great he is and look what the Lord has done for me. And so we have this need to understand that Satan works through the power of a lie or a suggestion or a thought. We need to understand that that's how he works. He works through a thought of failure or fear. Worry is just a thought that pops into your head that gets you meditating on something negative happening to you. Something bad's going to happen. You hear people say it. Something bad's going to happen. I just feel it in my bones. I just had a thought, and I just know something bad's going to happen. And what's happening there is they're establishing that thought into believing. Because once the thought has come in, they begin to see it, imagine it, meditate on it, even speak it out until it becomes a living reality. They are now in expectation of bad things. And, you know, when a Christian has got the helmet on, you know what a helmet's on? Is to be thinking saved. The helmet of salvation. Think saved. Right? Think saved. The helmet is for the head. If I wore, there's a few bikers in the room, a couple at the back sitting together. If I'd borrowed one of your helmets, I'd have, I nearly asked, by the way. But I thought this wouldn't work with a mic. But if I put a helmet on, you'd be like, she looks crazy this morning. But that helmet is to protect my head. Yeah. And we're to think saved. Yeah. So instead of imagining and expecting and believing a bad outcome, to think saved is to adopt the mind of Christ or the truth, not your own imagination, but the truth of God's word, the promise. So, for example, the end of Psalm 23. Surely, I want you to imagine this. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Can I do that again? So, you've not got a bad future ahead of you. God's truth is, surely, goodness, imagine that. In fact, imagine surely. Not possibly, maybe. Secondly, imagine goodness. Every good thing. Every good thing in Christ. God's got good plans for me. And mercy, which is the Hebrew for love, the love of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God, and the forgiveness of God. Imagine. Will follow me. Look what's behind you. Look where you're going, everywhere you go. Goodness, mercy. I'm never going to have a bad day with that. In my head, I'm going to think saved. Some of you are looking at me like, well, it's because you've kind of allowed the enemy to get stuck in your head. And you've taken your helmet off and allowed the enemy to run riot. The power of Satan is in a lie, and he puts thoughts in that we believe, and it affects our behavior. You know, what you believe affects your behavior. Whatever you're panicky about, you'll try and kind of tie down, you know. You're panicking about something, you will try and make something happen about that situation. Rather than trust God, you'll be moved into loads of extra work. Because worry equals work. Yeah. Faith equals the rest of faith, but then you act out of faith. That's a different dynamic. We go from faith to work. Rather than we go from worry into panic, into stress, and into loads of extra work. But the power of God is in truth. The power of God, the power of Jesus. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth has power to liberate you, not just from human thinking, but into the empowering of God. The power of the Christian life is found in living in the truth. Say that again. In fact, say it to somebody next to you. The power of the Christian life is living in the truth. I heard a story recently, and it really caught my attention, particularly as we were talking about elephants last weekend. And it's about how you train elephants to these great, big, huge mammals who, you know, can break through anything, knock down trees. How do you train an elephant to be tied to a little pole and a rope in a circus ring? How is that possible? Because that animal could break free like that. It could just break free. There's not enough power in the stake because it has to be movable because you've got the clowns on next. Do you know what I mean? So you've got this little stake and this little tie around the elephant, and he does his tricks. How do you get this huge mammal to think it can't break free? Well, when it's a baby, it's tied to a pole that is staked in the ground strong. And when it's a baby, it can't break free. It learns time and time again. It tries to break free, but it knows it can't. And so it learns that there are limits to its freedom. It thinks, I can't be free from this. This is the limit to my ability. So it's been trained to believe and to think. It accepts. This little animal, well, it's not that little, but this little elephant accepts. I can't be free. I believe these are my limits. These are my parameters. I'll never get beyond this because this is where I live. And it grows because it eats a lot. And it's fed a lot. And this elephant gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But the restraints stay the same. And it continues to believe that it can't be free. It sees the stake and the rope and says, that's it. I will never be able to get out of this. And remember, an elephant never forgets. An elephant never forgets. And so it's got chains in its mind. I believe God wants to loose the chains in our head about what we have learned we can't do. That we've been trained with Satan's thinking, fear thinking, failure thinking, unbelief thinking, reasonable thinking. Do you remember the disciples? When they got the bread and fish, they thought, how on earth are we going to feed all these guys with this? And Jesus actually said, you know, about when they were in the boat and they were saying, we haven't got any bread. He said, why do you reason? Why do you reason about what you don't have? You've been trained to live out of the material world rather than the kingdom of heaven, where every good thing is available to every single disciple all the time. Amen. Your mind has been trained. You're chained to the small. You're chained to the failure. You're chained to what you can't do, humanly speaking. You're chained to the fear. You're chained even to the emotional hurt and pain. And Jesus has come to set us completely free with his truth. And if you have ever been in a situation, I'll never do that, I can't do that, I can't get out of this awful job, I can't get out of this, I don't know, whatever. God is able. God is able. If you think of that great big elephant, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we're talking about an elephant, we're talking about the God who made the elephant. We're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth that lives inside of each one of us. Do you not think that he has the power to set you free? In him is more power than you will ever need to be free. But our minds need to be set free from our chains. Human thinking. We can be controlled by our old experiences or liberated by the truth. And I know which one I want. Quite honestly, our heads need to catch up with the mind of Christ and not be a weapon the enemy uses against us to bring us down into just living like ordinary people when the greatest one in the universe lives in us through his Holy Spirit to set us free. Addiction is nothing you can break free. Pornography is nothing you can break free. Alcoholism is nothing you can break free. Emotional hurt is nothing you can break free. I don't care what the enemy has labeled you with, Jesus Christ can set you free. It is for freedom. Christ has set you free. Stand then in that freedom. And don't take on these thoughts that restrict, that oppose, that actually manipulate you into living less than a son of God. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are all new creations. God has taken us out of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He has given every believer authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will by any means harm us. He has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. No good thing will he withhold from him whose walk is upright. With God, all things are possible. And God is here. God is here. He's not over there. He's in you. Rise up, church, in the truth that will set you free. You are not held captive by your negative emotions. You're a captive, a slave of Jesus Christ. He has come to take ownership of every part of your life, including your head. Amen. Because he knows as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You will live out what you think and believe. I cannot stand Christians talking. Sorry, Alcoholics Anonymous is a great organization, but if you're saved, you're free. Come on. Yes, so I can't stand the mumbling and the, today I can do whatever. I haven't even learned it. There we go, because it's not in my head. Yes. If the Son sets you Amen. Free, Amen. You are free. Indeed. Yes. If you want it. If you can get your thinking right, your believing right, and your acting right, you can live and walk free. Oh, Jesus. He's the... You can't lose. Even when you're having your last breath and dying, Jesus says, there's no need to fear. I've gone before you and prepared a place for you in heaven. There's a room for you. There's a mansion. It's not a room, it's a mansion. And so if you're thinking and believing's right, and when I finish, I'm going to be quite old, by the way, because I'm preaching all the way through. And I'm going to go to glory like this. Yes! For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Talk about surely goodness and mercy will follow me. I'm off. If you're not saved, you go into the wrong place and eternal torment will follow you all of eternity. For God's sake, get saved today. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Become a believer and follower of this amazing Jesus. If you see your circumstances like that great big elephant and you look down at what the devil tries to put in your head, tell you you are, you go, you're joking, aren't you? That's not true. And you just feel the chains following you, dropping off. And you walk out of that circus tent like this. And everybody's running. Wah! Elephant's free. Ah! The demons are going, ah! They got free. Ah! They believe the truth. Ah! They believe the truth. And then they'll walk in it. Oh, don't you love elephants in this season? Summer is about elephants. No, it's about Jesus, the greater one in us. 2 Corinthians, we're going to finish with this. And somebody really helped me this week because I was ministering to them. And they really helped me to see we need this message, all of us. Yeah. All of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is for freedom. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, this is for Christians here, those who are born again, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We do use weapons, but they, on the contrary, they're not like the world uses, so we are never going to war physically as Christians. We don't beat people up. We don't act like the other kingdom to rob, kill, and destroy. We've come to bring the life of Jesus Christ to everyone. On the contrary, the weapons we have divine power. Say divine power. The biggest bomb this world could ever make, and there are some big ones out there, is nothing compared to the weapons we have, because they have the power of God behind them. You're on to a winner if you've got a divine weapon. They have divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. What's interesting is that Paul is talking about the mind here, strongholds. A stronghold is like a fortress. And in history, armies used to head for the fortress to take new ground. And they get into that stronghold, that place, that fortress. And from that place, they would advance to rob, kill, and destroy. And so if you think of your mind, you can have thoughts that Satan has put in there, but that you can actually start to meditate on and think about, that are just negative, failure, I can't, it's not ever going to happen for me thoughts. Thoughts of that you're no good, whatever. Thoughts of fear. And he can build those thoughts like a castle, like a stronghold in your head. And from that fortress, he can start to dominate you as a person. Begin to rob, kill, and destroy just from your head. Okay, so that's a stronghold in your mind that Satan wants to erect so that you have this way of thinking that is destructive. Worry is destructive. Fear is destructive. Thinking you're no good is destructive. Thinking you're never going to have a future that's free is destructive. Thinking bad about yourself is destructive. It actually is a weapon of Satan. Whereas if you're a child of God, you're loved, accepted, chosen, raised and seated above all powers and principalities of darkness. You're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror through him who loved more than. So you've always got more than you need. More than. And so these strongholds, it says we've divine power to demolish, to tear down these strongholds. We demolish every argument and every pretension or every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. You see, David, the king, had this thought that exalted itself up against the will of God, that opposed the will of God. Peter had a thought that opposed the will of God. But we've got divine power. And the weapon is the truth for your mind. You need the truth. Your mind to be renewed by the truth of the word of God. And if your head was so full of the word, it would help you to believe. Now you believe with your heart, not with your head. But your mind and heart are so connected. You need to set your mind on truth, on things above. And it helps your faith grow. So, every pretense, every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. And we, come on, let's say, we take captive.
We take
come on, let's say it like an army.
We take captive.
Let's say it again, come on. We take captive.
We take captive.
God doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't say God. It says we. How do you win your war in your head? You take up the truth, which is the word of God, and you say, that negative, bad, wrong thought, I am going to violently take you out. It's a violent term, take captive. It's not like nice, not leading. Do you mind just leaving right now? That isn't very healthy. Thank you so much for coming. That's not captive, is it? It's quite warrior-like. Even for girls. Because there's neither male nor female in the spirit. We're in Christ. We have authority, but we have the power of truth to overcome the lie. And we run those lies out of our head. Get them out. But I was thinking, you know, we use the term, and Bill Johnson's brilliant about this. He's a Christian minister. He talks about don't just repent from the wrong. Because sometimes we're taken captive to sin. Satan tempts us and we go into sin. And we know we must confess our sin. Because God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And repentance is important, very important in every one of our lives. When we know we've been wrong or wronged somebody, we ask forgiveness. We confess our sin. But we don't just repent and kind of do nothing. We actually come into the mind of Christ. So we come out with the wrong mind into the right mind. We come out of the lie into the truth, and we come out of sin into the right way. And it's a bit like driving repentance, and I had this fresh yesterday. So imagine I thought I was going to go right through the town centre in Taunton. I'm in gear, but I've got into a reverse. I've gone the wrong way. And I'm reversing up the high street at great speed, because that's how I do most things. And I'm reversing up the high street, and I realise, uh-oh, I'm wrong. And to repent doesn't just mean to get into neutral and sit there and say, praise the Lord, oh, I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord, I'm free. It means to actually move forward, to come into the mind of Christ. So I need to put my mind in gear. I need to put my car in gear and start moving forward. How will you move forward? Get your mind into gear with the truth. Get moving forward with the word of God, and you will see your faith grow. You'll see the victory over the war in your head. So we don't just repent to be forgiven. We repent to the mind of Christ for us and for our circumstances. I'm nearly finished. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If the elephant believed the truth, it could break free. What kind of circus has the devil got you in? For each one of us, it would be different. Because he knows how to keep us in small, in constraints, in fear. He knows how to kind of hold us back and put us into hopelessness, so that we have this imagination that continually defeats us. Because you see, a thought can easily start with kind of almost like a movie being played in front of you of how bad things could get. And the devil uses your mind like that elephant in the circus, held back by a lie or something that is opposing God. And until you're willing to break free, Jesus can't do it for you. Because we're to take captive all those thoughts that have told us what we can't do as believers. It's time we believed the truth about us, about God, and about what is possible for us to do. It's time. It's time to have a renewed mind so that you can come into the gear of the Holy Spirit and move with God out of that circus and into freedom. Truth will break you out. Truth will break you out. And it's a day for the breakout of the saints. It's a day to not be held captive, but to take captive every negative thought. But I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I wish you could sometimes. My head plays horrible games with me sometimes. And I need to be honest. I'm just like David. We're all subject to attack in our minds. And you know, I've got a couple of go-to words today. We're going to finish with this and pray. Can we go to Jeremiah? How you doing? Have I gone on too long? No, not long enough, they said, because they have the mind of Christ. No, the right time is the right time. Whatever his time is, hey? Jeremiah 32. And you need to get your divine weapon for whatever your thing is that the devil tries to chain you to. Okay, ask the Lord for a promise. Ask for a scripture. But these are a couple of go-to words that I have been using, okay, personally. So, what about this? This is Jeremiah, and everybody, the whole nation is under siege, and All kinds of awful things are happening around. And I like the way this guy prays. And this is how to be unchained. Tell your neighbor, this is, I'm going to be unchained this morning. So this is what he prays. And you can learn this scripture, right? Some of you know the old song. We could do with a new song out of this. Our sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. I bet he was like, this is all a mess around here. Hang on a minute, let me get my mind right off the mess. So he starts to look. Maybe it was night. See the stars. He thinks about what God has made. He thinks about creation, a baby being born. Look at the miracle. He thinks. He just starts to think and he goes, oh, my goodness me. I'm not bothered anymore. Look, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Everything that has been made by Jesus, the Word of God. God created everything. And his mind starts to get hold of the bigness of God. Say the bigness of God. You'll never come into your core without a mind filled with the bigness of God. You'll never come into what God has for you without your mind filled with the bigness of God, the greatness of God. And then he says just this little thing. What a statement of faith. Nothing's too hard for you. You did all this. Nothing's too hard. Go on, say it over your circumstances right now. Think about it. Nothing. Whatever you're facing, nothing fits it. Nothing is too hard. Whatever. That's why God's speaking to all of us at the moment, if you're listening, and he's saying to you personally, nothing. Nothing's too hard. That's a go-to word. That's a great way to set your mind right and to say, Lord, I'm going to fix my mind and believe that with you all things are possible because nothing's too hard. You made everything. Therefore, it's no big deal to sort this out. I'm telling you from the Lord this morning, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. God has the power if we have the mind and the faith for it. And this ministers the right thinking and believing. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Meditate in it day and night and you will be successful. Hello? Think about it day and night. Imagine taking this scripture all week. Oh, Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. Nothing's too hard for you. Walking around your work, your business, with your kids, in a situation you're facing. Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is it. I take captive every thought that this is a hard one. Get out. I'm taking captive that thought that God can't do this. Get out. I'm taking captive. He can't do it for me. Get out. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And finally, the other scripture, and I'm going to give you in fresh translation, the normal translation is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But to freshen us up, let's try the Berean translation. I have strength for all things in the one strengthening me. How many of you have said this week, I can't cope? Change your thinking and your believing, because you'll become like that elephant and walk out of that situation as free as a bird. Because I have strength for all things in the one, not in myself, like David tried to get his human power going. But in Jesus who lives in me, I have strength for all things in the one strengthening me. I love that word, strengthening. Because it's not past tense. It's present tense. How many of you know that in every moment you need the strengthening of the one, the greater one that is in me? I can do this. I can do this because of the one who is strengthening me. We have to blast out of our heads. And don't let any stronghold take you captive and begin to destroy your life from your head. You are here to listen to the word of God this morning to be free, to find the path of freedom, because the weapon of the word of God has power. This word has power. This is a weapon. And we take captive every negative thought and make it obedient to Christ and his word. Thank you, Jesus. God will move this morning. He is going to enable, and he already has enabled a lot of you this morning to break the chain in your head so that you see yourself like that elephant, no longer in the circus, held captive, but free in Christ Jesus. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.